In the name of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd of our bodies and souls, dearly redeemed sheep of His pasture, family of God. It must be part of our human condition that once you've learned something, you can't remember what it was like not to know. You feel as if you've always known it. And most people, because they feel that way, forget when and where they learned things. Wouldn't we all appreciate our teachers better if we could remember where we learned some particular lesson? One of the ones from a teacher of mine in college, all-male college, future pastors, this Greek professor had attended a workshop, summer school at the university. So in the fall, when all the windows were open, he was telling us how they learned at this class that you always have to remove distractions before you can really get the point across in a lesson. Meanwhile, he was trying to talk over the sound of a blaring stereo from some freshman dormitory room. So he said, "I'll show you what I mean." He led our whole class across the campus to where that room was. We walked in on this very shocked new student at the school and kindly asked him to turn down his stereo. You suppose he ever tried that again? Removing distractions happened this week in my Skype class with my ministerial student. He's from China, far from his family, but he's out in North Carolina, and with the computer, we can see each other, talk to each other, show each other what's on the computer. It's a wonderful way to study, but they've switched roles now that they have a baby, so his wife is working in the morning so he can study in the library in the afternoon, and this is morning. And little Ruthie is just, you know, not ready to sit and listen to a lesson on theology. She's just a few months old. So he's trying his best, and he's so frustrated, and finally he just said, "My wife is so much better at this. She always does this." And so, Grandpa, I kicked into daddy gear. A checklist, I said. "You got a checklist you always got to use with the kids. Diaper, check. Fed, check. Burped, check. And one more thing." My mom shared this when our kids were little. Sometimes they're just thirsty for water. Just a bottle of water. Took a few minutes, took care of it, and before too long, little Ruthie was just sound asleep on daddy's shoulder, and he was happy. And we were, well, while she was resting, she got some rest, and we were all together alone with Jesus. Beautiful picture, sweet, especially, you know. You get softer as you become a grandpa. If you have never wanted to be alone with Jesus, if this really doesn't make that much difference to you, you don't know Jesus. And you don't know yourself very well either. You don't know how desperately in need of Jesus you are. And you don't know how wonderful and awesome He really is. If you ever wonder why we go through trials and tribulations, one of the reasons is so that we can feel our sin and the effects of sin in our lives. Often when we're young and we feel like we'll live forever, then it just time goes on and everything's easy and mom and dad are taking care of the bills. How many grandparents here remember when your kids discovered taxes? "They're taking that out of my paycheck." Well, be glad, because if you had to pay that quarterly like the self-employed, you'd really feel it. You know, life has a way of waking us up, and you start to realize when you have to do those things and mom and dad aren't there anymore that you really are in need of help. And this is why there were people that kept coming to Jesus streaming from everywhere. They had never heard of anyone like this before. You can imagine a popular presidential candidate maybe drawing crowds from several states around, you know, by campaign promises and by great soaring rhetoric. But this Jesus, this rabbi from Nazareth, he didn't just talk. He did things that no one else has ever done. He did the miracles. To the point that, remember those four men who had a friend who was paralyzed? And they came to Jesus when the house was too crowded to get inside? You remember how determined they were? They get up on the roof and dig down through the roof to lower their friend down in front of Jesus, and they are not disappointed. Jesus not only healed their paralyzed friend, he forgave their sins and then read the minds of all of his enemies who are just rolling around all the things they hate about Jesus. He reads their minds. And people seeing this, common people, said, "We've never seen anything like this before." So when it says they came to him from everywhere, you're talking about Galilee, yes, where he was, but it says down in Judea, southern part, they had to get past Samaria to get there. And then Idumea, that's over across the Jordan River and down where Edom used to be. And then across Jordan, remember I told you in Jerusalem class and Vacation Bible School this week, the mountains across, Transjordan, they came from over there. And then up to the northwest from Tyre and Sidon along the Mediterranean, they came from everywhere because they wanted to hear him. And they were sick. And they needed help. Everybody wanted to know about Jesus. And so they came from everywhere. And the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. They're really excited. And this comes at a very bad time for Jesus. Because right before this, he gets the word that his cousin John the Baptist, the forerunner, had been beheaded by wicked King Herod. Jesus hears that news, and he wants to take his disciples away alone. He has things he wants to teach them. But they're all excited because they just went out on their first missionary journey, and he had given them power to do miracles themselves. Imagine that. You got the power from Jesus to do miracles and drive out demons. To come back and report on something like that to Jesus would be about, like, you know, telling your friends about some great championship game that you won. Or I hear the guys trading fishing stories sometimes. I ever tell you about the time that the fish were just jumping right into the boat? When the mosquitoes were biting each other just for fun? I mean, you start to spin the stories, but it's not hard to tell about things like that. And when they came back and talked about what Jesus had done through them, they were excited to the point that in one of the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples, you know, he puts a damper on it. He says, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Alone with Jesus, he's trying to keep the focus where it belongs so that they're not rejoicing in their happenings around them. There's no joy in that. But to rejoice in Jesus, to rejoice in the Lord, that goes on no matter what the circumstances, and Jesus could have joy in his heart through his grief too. So he's trying to get his disciples off, away from the crowds, alone with Jesus. They're all coming back. They gather around Jesus. They reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. What? You know, you hear pastors and you hear congregations talk about how they want to grow. They dream about these things. Jesus' disciples didn't have to dream. There were so many people coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat. The crowds were huge. And Jesus kept on telling these people that he healed, don't tell anyone about this. Remember that? What is he doing? The next part of the narrative here tells us that Jesus will feed the 5,000, and then it really gets serious because he makes his disciples get in a boat and leave. He dismisses the crowd. He won't have any of their desires because their desires are earthbound, worldly. They want him to be their bread king. And so these strange things that he keeps on saying make perfect sense if you know Jesus from the Old Testament, if you paid attention in Good Friday, and through the passion of our Lord during Lent. In Isaiah 53, you'll remember the suffering servant. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And what would happen if these crowds got so big and so excited that he could not go to the suffering and death of the cross, and there were no wounds? There would be no healing. There would be no salvation. And so Jesus would say these strange things: come away by yourselves and rest for a while. When we came to this, I think sophomore year in college, in Harmony of the Gospels class, I still remember the professor who explained this. He was our dean of men. That's all there were in this college, dean of men. Cigar smoking, beer drinking, sheep's head playing, dean of men. It's a good dean for men. He had a lifestyle which he talked about and lived for a reason. He knew how to lay down the rules when needed. But he was trying to make it very clear to us hardcore conservative future Lutheran pastors that we are not under law. We are under grace. And so his way of living showed that to us. He was dean for many years there. Men respected him. But when he came to this passage, he looked at all of us future pastors and he said, you will someday be tempted to neglect your rest. You'll neglect your family. You'll neglect the care for your own soul. You'll neglect the care for your own body. And then after you've worked yourself into an early grave, you try to say you did it all for God. He says, pay attention to the word of the Lord, our dear Savior here. Come away by yourselves and rest for a while. There is a time to take a vacation, he said, and when you take a vacation, you make sure you enjoy it, because the Lord wants you to get some rest. He said so. It was a command to his disciples. See, my Christian friends, there are so many wonderful things that you can do by faith with the time and the talents and the treasure that God has given you. But there is nothing that delights the Lord more than when the sheep are being fed and watered. When we, like a little child, the little girl, puts her head on Daddy's shoulder and falls to sleep. To rest in the Lord is what the Lord really wants. To be alone with Jesus is his heart's desire. Get some rest alone with Jesus. But recognize this is not the kind of rest that most people think about, because this is rest powered by Christ's compassion. I think that we Americans have a problem with this probably more than anybody else on the face of the earth. We can be honest, can't we? Someone, wise man, noted that we Americans worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. Isn't that true? No trip up north is too far. I mean, even when we were in school, it didn't matter how blinding the snowstorm, we could get away from school. But it didn't take much of a snowstorm to keep us from wanting to come back. Remember that? For me, on vacation, it just seems like the trip to church, it looks longer than it does normally. It's those times on vacation that I really think about what all of you go through to try to worship the Lord regularly and to guard and keep the Sabbath. And the thing about when you get requests for more offerings, like the fifth Sunday door offering, passing the plate, then you get things in the mail, not just from the politicians, but from your church, the worldwide fellowship in the wells. Honestly, my daughter Katie and I noticed this at the same time, and I called one of the synod officials about it. They would put out these beautiful letters, but I told him, the first thing I noticed when I opened the letter from the synod was the coupon at the bottom saying, give. I said, couldn't you tell your printer to put that at the end? My sinful nature right away sees that and ties into that. I want to get to the end of the letter after I've read the gospel that puts me in my place and reminds me of God's grace to me. Then when I read the appeal, it's faith-born love that's responding instead of this sickening, sinful nature. Watch your mailings from the Synod. There may have been others that told them too, but that's how they come out now, and it sure helps. Read through that beautifully crafted, beautiful law and gospel. They do this very carefully so that when we do give to the Lord, it's a matter of thankfulness and praise to God and not this sinful nature that I have to deal with every day. They are tired. They are weary. He says, come away by yourselves and rest for a while. But then they notice that as they go away, people are running along the seashore, Sea of Galilee. Many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. How is it for you when everybody's tired and hungry? How many times has our family gotten home from a road trip and the blessing of the Lord have been on us because we're back safe and sound, there was no accident? Isn't that the time when it's hard to be patient with each other? Why is it that we don't just stop and say, thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies again? Why is it that in my heart of hearts, as I go back and look in trying to have a godly home with Christ as the head, there are so many times that when there was a problem, yeah, there may be problems that had to be dealt with, but as I traced them back, they somehow started with me. Somehow. That's the responsibility in a Christian home, what it means to be a Christian husband and the head of the household under Christ. Trace back to me. How many times have I had to just say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner? And I look at my Jesus. And on the one hand, again, it puts me in my place because he got out of the boat and he sees those crowds. Remember, he's grieving, he's tired, he's hungry, and all these people thronging there, and he gets out and he looks at them and he is filled with compassion, that Greek word. He had a gut reaction. And it's mercy. It's compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And he's the good shepherd. So it says he taught them many things, and he healed their sick. The good shepherd goes to work. And as he does, and as he shows us his compassion here for us, he wants you and me to realize how he longs for that moment when you will finally get there, where you just realize you need to stop and pray. And how delighted he is when your knees finally reach the floor, when the tears are there. And he takes them all in compassion and kindness. And the good shepherd helps. Shepherds that shepherd sheep on this earth, I'm thinking of Philip Keller, and the shepherd looks at Psalm 23, how he talked about the morning when he'd have the sheep out there in the pasture knee-deep, pastures that he had worked so hard to pull the weeds and the water from the dew was so thick on the grass that they could eat the grass and get enough moisture for the whole day. They didn't even have to drink out of the stream. And then as the sun came up and it got hot, they would lie down under a tree and they'd just grow and gain, ruminate as they chew the cud. When you take that time early in the morning to be alone with Jesus, it delights him so. It's the sheep out in that knee-deep grass and the dew on the water so clean from God's word. And you eat and you drink and your soul revives. And all through the day you can meditate on that because you were alone with Jesus. And the rest that you have is powered by the compassion of Christ. Isaiah said in one of my favorite passages, he says, even youths grow tired and weary. Kids know this. Youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Resting in the Lord reminds you of this place where he compares his love to a mother's love. Remember Isaiah 49, he says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have graved you on the palms of my hands." Your name is engraved there next to the nail marks where he was crucified and died for you. He will not forget you. He thinks about you constantly. Get some rest. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Please rise.